This is exactly right.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm ghosted. By Roz Dresfeles.
Please.
Hey, boo. It's me, Roz. And, you know, we have a great show today. So I'm going to try to speak quick in this intro because there's a lot of wonderful stories from our listeners, but basically I just wanted to share that it is the 2-year anniversary of Ghosted this week. And I tried doing a little bit of math here. I believe we've done 100 episodes, around 100 episodes. This is also the 15th listener episode. And so I wanted to celebrate, and we're going to do like a little live show situation this Saturday. So I'll tell you about that real quick. And then I feel like I need to make a speech, right? So I'll make a speech. But first, okay, so here's what the live show is. Make sure you're writing this down. I've told you a little bit about this app called Stereo, which is so fun. I've been going on it almost every single day. It's basically a live podcast that I do with another friend. I've been doing it with my friends Sam and Johnny and my producer Land, and we talk about ghost stories and people send it to us and we can play their ghost stories live on the air and we talk about it. And it's just been so great to meet new people. And if you met me through Stereo, hello, welcome. So this Saturday we're going to do that. It is going to be the 30th of January, which is the official 2-year anniversary of this podcast. And it'll be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'll be joined by my producer, Land. And we're going to be talking about our favorite moments of Ghosted the past 2 years, and hope that people will just send us in their ghost stories and we'll talk about it, and we'll do at least an hour. And I just think it'll be a really fun thing. And I would really like to introduce you guys to that app, because I don't know what your schedules are like, but I have a decent amount of free time and I've been going on there for at least an hour pretty much every single day, talking about ghosts with people in a fun, like, interactive way. And I have just been loving it. I'm an official verified content creator on there. And I hope you can check it out. I hope you'll be there. So you can get that information in the description of this episode. And I'll add, it's free. It's completely free. And it helps me a lot if you listen. So I can't wait for that. I'm just like, I'm trying not to be emotional, but I'm so proud of what we've created here, that it's been 2 years. I don't know. That's a big deal to me. I am so honored that you guys tune in every week and that you have found me and that we have built this community of like-minded people that like to talk about this weird shit. And I'm so grateful for all the people that have come on the show, both listeners and all the other guests. And of course, I mean, I couldn't do this without Starburns Audio and everyone there, Jessica, our engineer, James, Jason, and of course, Land, my producer, who, if you've never met Land, you'll get to meet Land at that live show that we'll be doing on Stereo. And Land and I have been working on this idea for over 2 years now, and I could not do it without Land and the people at Starburns. And I also couldn't do it without you guys. Like, truly, it's been really great for me. especially this past year. I mean, the second year of this podcast, the pandemic hit and we had to figure it out. And we really didn't take any time. We just, you know, just kept doing it. And I know it was like kind of rocky there for a moment, like the sound was bad and I was trying to figure out how to record on my phone from home, but we figured it out. And, you know, it's been tough. I'm not gonna lie. It has its challenges to book a show like this every single week. I mean, anytime you have to book any kind of show with different people every single week, it's hard. But then you add like, oh, they have to have a bomb ass ghost story, and that makes it really tough. But I'm also real picky, so I try my best to curate a good show every single week. And you're still listening, so I hope that I've done a decent enough job. And, you know, I get to do these listener episodes, which has been so cool. Just to know that anyone listens to this is really, it means a lot to me. It really, really does. It's been a big deal for me. And I don't think that I could have lasted this past year without going crazy if it wasn't for all of you showing me support. And, you know, I mean, I don't even have... don't have jobs anymore. I used to have like a really full, busy life. And now I've put a lot of my life into doing Ghosted. And now I'm on Stereo all the time. And I do the Patreon. And, you know, you guys support me so much, even just by listening. But everyone, you know, posting about the show and telling their friends and, you know, giving me suggestions of guests. And yeah, you guys have just shown me so much support, and it means a lot to me, because it's just been you know, risky just doing this. I put a lot of time into this, and it really feels like it pays off when I realize that people actually really enjoy this and they tune in, and it's all worth it. This is in no way a gigantic, you know, one of the biggest podcasts in the world, though I am very hopeful that it will be. I believe in this podcast. It will be one day. And, you know, I'm not rich from doing this podcast, but I'm going to continue to do it because I feel very passionate about it. And you guys enjoy it. So hopefully it will continue to grow. And as long as you guys are listening, I'm going to keep doing it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's the end of the speech. Anyway, I'm talking to a couple of our listeners today, and I decided I'm going to do something new with our listeners, which is I played an EVP with a listener, which I think I'm just going to do at random on listener episodes in the future. And I did it with Andy. And the Patreon bonus clip this week is me talking to Andy some more. And Andy has a story about a time when he had a nightmare / sleep paralysis involving an entity that resembled Samara from The Ring, who is always popular in these scenarios and always terrifying. So go check that out on my second tier of Patreon. And also on my first tier of Patreon, my video this week is a quick little video of me talking about the Whaley House and a little bit of footage of me walking around it. I mean, it's not open right now. You can't go in, but I walked around the property, and so that's something. I also wanted to tell you that since Valentine's Day is coming up, I mean, what better way to say I love ya than with some Ghosted merch? And so we're going to do 15% off with the promo code LOVERAWS in all caps. And that's at that link to my merch, which is, you can find the link in my Instagram bio. Or if you don't have Instagram, send me an email, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com, and I will send it to you. And 15% off promo code LOVEROZ. Also, if you want to be on a listener episode soon, please send me your listener stories with the subject line listener episode. Just, you know, a brief little description of some of the stories, and send that to also ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. Okay, here we go. It is time for the 2-year edition, a listener episode 2 years in the making, the 15th ever listener phone call extravaganza. On with the show. Hello, Liz. How are you?
I'm great. I've been on pins and needles all morning.
Thanks for joining me. I love
Thank you so much.
I love the story you sent me. And you were talking about it's from the 70s. I was like, whoa, I haven't heard very many stories on this show from like the 70s.
Yeah, I've been sitting on this a long time.
Well, can we hear the story?
It's not like I've had a lot of experiences, but it was this apartment. I moved in 1976. It was a very cute apartment. It was stucco with a Spanish roof, and it was upstairs. There were French doors in the bedroom and a breakfast nook. It was so cute, but it was creepy.
It sounds gorgeous. It was the kind of place. This was in California, right?
Berkeley.
Oh, beautiful.
Up in Berkeley. Yeah. So it was upstairs. I had my own private stairway, and it was the kind of place where you wanted to run up the stairs because there was something behind you.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes. And if you wanted to sit down, there were special places in the corner where you would feel most comfortable. So you had to bat, you know, your back against the wall. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was just that way. But I didn't have any haunting experience until I'd been there about 3 years. And then a very silly thing happened one night. Everything fell off the shelf in my closet. Everything. And
But the shelf didn't break, right? Or
the shelf didn't break. Everything fell off. There was no earthquake. It woke me up. And anyway, it was kind of silly, but it was the beginning of things. That's when things started, because the next night I was woken up by tapping on the wall. Tapping, tapping, tapping. That never ended. It would just keep going, tapping, tapping, right by my head. Now, my bed was situated against the wall. It was just a mattress on the floor. The other side of that wall was that creepy stairway. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing there. There were no neighbors, no outside, no water pipes, nothing to make that noise. And it just scared me. And I scrunched down. I would grab my pillow and scrunch down, trying to get some distance between my head and the wall. This went on for days and days. And at the same time, I started getting buzzed by mosquitoes, which is unnerving in the middle of the night.
Like, when, were they biting you or like?
No, just buzzing my ear, just kind of going, meow.
Oh, that's annoying.
It is annoying, and it creeped me out.
Are you the kind of person that would think this is a ghost or something like that?
No. No, I lived by myself all this time. I was not afraid of things. Mm-hmm. I just was like, eh, that's creepy. I'm just going to do this. So I'd had nobody to get up and call in the middle of the night, the tapping on the wall. So this went on for a while, as I said. Then one night I got into bed, was settling in. Before I'd even relaxed, in my left ear, I heard a woman's voice say, "Lizzie, I'm here with you." As clear as I ever heard anything in my life. I jumped out of bed. I said, oh, no, you're not. And I went around that apartment. I was in full roar. I was a mama bear. I was going to protect myself in that apartment. And I must have scared it away, or it was a real weenie little demon or something, because it never came back.
Well, that's actually surprising. I mean, that's inspiring to hear, because I feel like you hear so many of these entities or demons or whatever that can't take a hint. It's like, we're not interested. Like, you need to back
up. I told you to go away.
Yeah, creep. But this one was like, okay, like, this must have been like first day on the job, like new demon.
I think like they were just watching me and taking their time. And then they thought they'd do something, and then they were, oh, I'm not going to mess with this bitch, so I'm just, forget it. I'll wait for the next tenant.
Now, wait, so do you think that it was something, I mean, you did say about the, you thought that the stairway was creepy this whole time, but do you think it was a ghost of somebody that lived there at one point, or do you think it was something that you brought into the house by accident, or where did it come from?
No, I don't think it was with me. I don't think it was with me. For a while, I thought maybe it was an ancestor or something.
Yeah.
That was visiting, but it was kind of a menacing voice. So I don't think so. I really have no clue, Roz.
And then it just, but it all stopped.
But there was something else that happened in that apartment.
Okay.
That I have to tell you real quick.
Okay.
In the summer of 1977, in that same apartment, I was getting ready to go to a job interview and pulling on my pantyhose. Out of my mouth come the words, I'm going to see Mary Peterson today. Okay, it's not her real name, but she had a common name like that. Okay, so I'm thinking, well, that's weird. I haven't seen her since seventh grade, and I don't know that I'm going to see her. So I didn't think about it. I just said the words.
It was just like a name that popped into your head.
I said, I'm going to see Mary Peterson today. Verbatim. So I got ready. I walked down to the bus stop, took the bus, went down San Pablo Avenue in Berkeley. It turned up Solano Avenue and stopped. Who gets on the bus but Mary Peterson?
Weird.
I grabbed her by the hand. I said, I knew I was going to see you this morning and or today. She didn't look at all surprised. I thought it was strange. She looked very sad. We walked to the back of the bus together and we sat down and we talked for a little while. She told me that she was in a relationship with a married man. And that I could tell she was very unhappy. But my bus stop came up, and I had to get off after a couple of miles. And, you know, we said our goodbyes. And I thought, well, that was disappointing. I thought something more would come of that after having that kind of experience. I expected more, you know. So a few years ago, I looked her up. I remembered her middle name, and I looked her up, and I put in 1956, which would be the year that we both were born, and I found a grave, and it had her full name with her middle name. It said born 1956, died 1977. So
wow.
I think she might have killed herself. I don't know. And I hate to think that, but it's like, that would be just amazing. That would be so creepy.
Now, do you think, when did you see her again?
Summer of 77. I remember that.
Do you think there's a possibility she was a ghost, or do you think?
No, she was alive. She was alive. I think I saw her shortly before she died.
Wow.
Because she was having this unhappy affair, mm-hmm. and I I don't know. I just had a feeling, and I was the only person that came up with that name, with that middle name. And I can give you her full name, and you can look it up yourself if you want to, but I don't want to do it on the air.
Right.
Because she might be alive.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to her. But either way, like just waking up with someone random in your head and then seeing them, that is very interesting.
Yeah. Just, and it was this apartment, and nothing like that has happened to me since I left the apartment. So I think it was in the apartment. So anyway,
so since then, have you had anything paranormal happen since then?
Not incontrovertible things like these.
Mm-hmm.
That was somebody talking in my ear. That's something that nobody will ever convince me that it was anything different. And the same with this woman that I had a premonition about. Nobody can convince me that it was something that wasn't beyond this earth. And I'm so grateful for these things, because now it's all open. I don't have to fear the beyond. I don't have to fear death, because there is more.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a gift.
Yeah.
There's a ghost in my house.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
Great. Where are you? What part of the world?
You're in LA, right? Or San Diego?
I'm in LA at the moment.
Not too far from you. I'm in Hesperia, so like a third of the way to Las Vegas from you.
Oh, the desert?
The high desert.
Have you seen Aliens? I love talking to desert people about aliens.
No, but this is like my fourth year living up here, and I don't doubt that there are aliens that float around here, because it just gives me that vibe up here.
Yeah. Well, I was reading your email, and it sounds like you have had all kinds of experiences, and you just like threw the way you were so nonchalantly in this email, just like, oh yeah, and then like I've seen demons, I had a near-death experience. Can we just like, I've got questions. So can we start with what happened to you when you were young?
Oh my gosh. So oh man, it's kind of embarrassing, because when I was like 4 years old, my parents and my sisters, we frequented my grandparents' house in Mexico. And they live right on this, like, on a highway. And across the street is this park that we just loved going to. And there was the swings and all that growing up. So me and my sister, older sister, went across the way one day. And I decided to just run into the highway without looking both ways on our way back. And I literally got hit by a truck.
My God.
Yeah. So my cousin, he's, like, 10 years older. And he said he was watching us from my grandparents' house, and my sister both say that they swear they saw me fly like 15, 20 feet in the air, and I landed on the concrete face first.
Oh my God.
So that happened. And all I remember was like going in and out of consciousness. Like I remember waking up in the car, in the hospital. And I just remember going to and from like consciousness, and I know it's like so cliche, but like a white light, right? Like I just kept going in and out of that. So luckily I'm here to tell the tale. And I really think that was like the precedent for me to be able to like be open and to experience things, you know, as I was growing up. So yeah, crazy, huh?
I mean, do you remember like physical pain or like any of that?
No, I don't remember any pain. I just remember going in and out. Nope, I don't remember any pain, nothing like that. Isn't that crazy? I was 4 years old.
So you feel like this opened you up to the spiritual realm, or what do you think?
Yeah, I really think that that it was a near-death experience, and that it just made me sensitive to things. Like, I don't want to claim that, like, I am any type of psychic or medium, but I know that the things I've experienced aren't just like my mind playing tricks on me, you know? Like, I know I've seen tangible experiences, very tangible things that I believe are paranormal.
Ooh, like what?
Okay. Oh my gosh. Where do we start? Okay. So after that experience, like coming back home, let's see. So we lived in a house in Pomona, which is like not too far from LA. It's like out in the Inland Empire. And the house was built in the 40s. I tried to do some research coming into this, but I didn't find much, but I did find that the house was built in the 40s. So there was some history there. And the house happened to be built on like a 3-foot subfloor. So there's like 3 feet of space under the house. And
great place to hide bodies.
Yeah, you're telling me. And then guess where the opening to the subfloor was in our house?
Where?
My closet.
Ooh.
So, you know, I think it's a little mix of fear as a little kid, like there's a hole to the subfloor in your closet, and like also just experiencing things that made me like scared shitless about that being in there. So after that whole like near death experience happened, I did start experiencing like very creepy things. And like as I was reviewing this stuff in my head, like going into today, like I just, oh my gosh, I got like overwhelmed with emotions and you know, chills down my spine. So I would start like hearing scratching in my closet, like at the subfloor, and very reminiscent of like an ASMR.
Okay, but not relaxing at all, but I imagine.
Not relaxing at all, no. And so I don't know why as a kid, like I didn't think to like tell my sisters or my parents. Like I just like was like, oh, that's weird. Like that's kind of freaky. And
is it possible it was a raccoon or something?
I think that's how like I kept myself like at ease about it. Like, oh, it's probably a rat or a raccoon or something. But it would happen so frequently, and more frequent. Obviously, like it just happened to happen when I was alone. Like it never happened when my sisters were in my room or when anyone else was in my room. It just happened when I was alone. And so that would happen very, very often. And at some point I started having these like really creepy nightmares where like a demon looking like all black thing with red glowing eyes and like these like claws. I would just have nightmares that it would come out of the subfloor. Like it would just like peek up. And I would just have that reoccurring nightmare. And at some point it progressed to like me waking up from that nightmare and then hearing my closet door, like the handle just like open very slowly. And then the door just like crack open just a little bit. And I you know how like in movies and a lot of people will say when they're scared or see something like that, their first instinct is to run out of like bed and get out of the room. Like I'm the complete opposite. Like I would just like lay there and stare intensely wide-eyed at like what was going on. And I would see like a hand just come out of the door and like long claws just like, I don't know, caress the door, but like kind of like in a very like threatening, like I'm gonna get you type of way. And
yeah, it's like a demon that knows what it's doing. Like it's like, yes. I know that if I go real slow, I'm gonna creep you out.
Exactly. And so I was just like scared shitless. I would just watch until I fell asleep. Like that's just how it went. And some days I swear I would wake up and the closet door was just like just as much open as it was when I was like experiencing that. Sometimes it would just be closed. But Roz, like I can reassure you that before I went to bed, knowing that I would experience those nightmares, like I made sure that door was locked or closed, you know, like closed all the way that it wouldn't just like swing open by itself. So that was just like, that was so terrifying to me as like a little 4, 5, 6 year old kid. And those kind of nightmares just like kind of progressed into like more emotional nightmares. It's so crazy. And I think you've mentioned this before, but about yourself too, but my parents let me watch The Exorcist when I was like 7 years old. Yes. And that was like at my request. Some kid at school was like, you should watch The Exorcist. It's like not even scary. It's like funny. And I don't know what he's been watching, but nothing in that movie was funny. But my parents like went and rented the movie. Did your parents rent it for you? Or like what? How did you run across
I saw
that movie?
I saw it like AMC or TCM, like a cable edited version with like all the bad words taken out and like replace, like how they used to do that on cable, like replace the words. Famously, it was "Your mother darns socks in hell."
Right.
But then when I saw the real, I mean, that was still terrifying nonetheless.
Right. So like, I don't know how or why my parents just like, it was my dad, he obliged, like, oh yeah, you're interested in The Exorcist? Like, oh, when we watched that, when it first came out, like people were having seizures in the theater. Like, sure, I'll let you watch that.
Yeah,
so he rented it for me. And like, I remember that night my sisters were like, I have an older sister and a younger sister. And they're like, no, we do not want to watch a scary movie. And they happen to have a TV in their room. I didn't have a TV in my room. So I watched the movie alone in their room. And it was like later in the afternoon. And I remember like when the movie was ending, it was already like kind of dusk, like it was getting dark. And Rod's like, I remember this so well. Like the bed that I was on started violently shaking, like earthquake shaking. And like, obviously like I got up and like, I ran out to the living room and I asked my mom if she had felt the earthquake. And she like looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, Mom, like the bed that I was just on just like shook, like there was an earthquake. And she was like, no, there wasn't. You're probably just like imagining things, like you're watching that movie. Like you're just, you know, like typical mom, play it off. Like you're just thinking you experienced something. But I swear, Roz, like I'm getting like flustered just thinking about it, because I remember that feeling of like the whole bed shaking and like, you know, it was real. It happened. Like there's no doubt in my mind that it happened. And that
well,
night,
I think that when you watch a scary movie, you're obviously like on alert and you think that stuff like that could happen and it's possible your brain can play tricks on you. But also, if we're to believe that demons or dark energies feed off of fear, if you're already fearful because of a movie or something you heard or having a podcast where you hear terrifying stories all the time, you're going to be fear in a fear-like state, and maybe a demon will latch onto that and it will know that you're going to think, oh, it's only because I saw this movie. But it could be real for sure.
No, right. I really think that that's what was going on. And oh my gosh, I remember that night before I went to bed, like I looked under my bed, I looked in the closet, like with the light, made sure there was nobody or nothing in there. And after that, after I watched that movie, like the demon in my nightmares kind of took the form of Reagan from the movie. Like it just kind of got a little like out of control, but at the same time it was routine. Like I started to, you know, to expect it to happen. So I guess it wasn't like as scary after a couple years. The only thing I really remember changing that like made me like scared after getting used to it is I would just start having this reoccurring dream that this demon thing, like we'd be out on the street and it was like pitch dark, like the street lights didn't work, it like that it would kidnap my sisters. I know that's so like weird, like the demon kidnapped my sisters, but I knew that the demon took my sisters in the nightmare, and it would just like laugh at me with like sharp teeth and say like, it's gonna get me next. And then I would wake up, and the progression, instead of like seeing things, is I would hear something like call and whisper my name from the closet. And it was just like a, and you know, just like calling my, I know, I'm like getting chills. And I was just like, yeah. And I like, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, how come I never like ran and told my parents or my sisters about this? And I really think that they would have just like brushed me off. You know, my parents and my sisters just don't believe in like the spiritual realm and the paranormal. So I just didn't find that like to be an option. But yeah, that pretty much sums up like my experiences in that house. I really do think that there was an entity or a spirit or something kind of evil, because that it never felt like an easygoing thing. You know, it made its presence known to me after I experienced that near-death experience, and I think it knew that I could see it and hear it and It was terrifying. And I think it's worth noting that while we lived in that house, there were a couple other weird things that happened that, like, you know, I can't attribute to it being because of that. But I mean, when bad things happen, like, I assume that it's because of a bad energy or a bad presence, right? And so that house, luckily no one was at the house, but someone did break into that house at some point. And like, it's Pomona, like, ain't nothing like valuable hiding in our house. And also, somehow, like, we love our animals. We've always loved our animals in our house. And somehow our little Chihuahua got out one night to the front yard, and she was like mauled by like a pack of like three big dogs, brought like right in front of our yard. I know, it was so sad. And like, it was so random that like she got out, like she was just always with us, you know? And one last thing that I'll never forget is there was like a tall light post in front of our house. And one night, some like thugs rammed their car into that light post, and the light post like fell straight towards our house. And luckily our front yard is very long, so it never like hit the house. But I just remember looking, like peeking outside the blinds and like looking at these guys. Like, the police luckily got there very quickly, but looking at these guys, and there was just like something very, like, very like weird and malevolent about them. And I don't know, like, I just think back and I grouped this all together, and it could be that it's just random people that crashed into our house, but I look back and I think that it all had to do with this negative energy in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's definitely possible.
Yeah,
have you had ghost experiences, like with human ghosts?
I have, yeah. So we moved out of that house when I was about 12, and for many, many years, like through my teens, I didn't experience like anything close to, well, actually anything that resembled what I experienced at that house. So that's why I believe that there was something specifically like going on at that house, because once we got out, I didn't experience anything like that. I started what I believe like seeing ghosts or like human spirits around when I was like in high school, because when both of my grandmothers passed away, I know that they came to me in my dreams. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that they came to me in my dreams, after they passed, just to reassure me that they were in an okay place. I wrote a couple notes here, but like, to me, like, I've started to realize around that time and as an adult that like there's a difference between a paranormal experience and like a mind trick. And the way I know for myself that it's a different experience is that when I have a paranormal experience, like my grandmother's coming to me in my sleep, or when I've had what most people would call sleep paralysis, is I have like a physiological response to it. Like, if I have a paranormal experience, I end up like tearing up often, or my body just feels different as to when, like, oh, like, did I just see that? You know, when I'm like questioning if it was a mind trick. And to me, that's how I know it's different. Around the time when I turned 18, I began to like, you know, become a social butterfly and started going out a lot. And my parents were kind of strict with us, and they didn't like us staying out late or going out partying, or like any parent, but they were very strict. And so I was a little defiant, you know, I was like a little a-hole to them. And I think that I was inviting like negative energy and negative people into my life. And that's when I started having serious sleep paralysis. And what's funny is I listened to the podcast, and you mentioned it a lot, and a lot of people, guests have mentioned that they have sleep paralysis only when they sleep on their back. But I only have sleep paralysis when I'm sleeping on my side. I've never had it on my back. So that's kind of weird, because hearing that everyone else has it on their back is like, well, that's kind of creepy, because I don't.
I know. I hear it on the side too. I hear it the least on when people sleep on their stomach. But I've honestly, I keep hearing it all different ways. So, I want to do something fun. I've never done this, but I think You want to listen to some EVPs with me?
Roz, you're going to invite me to do this? I'm so excited. Yes.
Yeah, let's do it. I've never done it with listeners, but let's do it right now.
EVPs
or EV, please. I've just been thinking about how we should. Why not? Okay, so yes. I'm going to do this. This one I found on YouTube. It's from Joseph Fontaine. And it is at a, it just says it's at a residence in Rhode Island. It's at some haunted house. What do you hear this ghost saying? Okay, wait, let's try again.
Oh my gosh.
Could you hear anything?
Yeah, I hear something in the lines of like, something I want to run away. Something like that, or go away.
Here, I'll play it again.
Run away.
Yeah, it's definitely like a sentence or like a couple of words. Okay, here's some options. Is it A, it's all up to you. B, that's so not cool. C, it's all downhill. Or D, what's that? P-U. I don't know, maybe they smelled something bad.
Option C.
It's all downhill. It's actually, they believe it's A, it's all up to you. I hear it. Well, okay, so then I'll read you more. It says that they captured this at a home with reoccurring intense negative paranormal activity. Many have blessed and cleansed the home, but still the negative spirits prevail. Although the voice you are hearing is not a malicious spirit, we believe it is someone else warning us that we should not give up on saving the home by speaking this message. So, I guess it's a good spirit being like, it's all up to you to get these bad ones out.
Yeah.
I've been ghosted too.
Hi, Jen. Where are you?
Hi, Roz. I live in South Central Minnesota, I guess.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, it's really rural here.
Thanks for joining me. I was hearing about how you've had some like premonition dreams. What is going on with that?
I don't really know. As far as I know, it's not like a past from one generation thing. It just kind of started happening to me when I was probably around 9 or 10, and I didn't know what it was. And unfortunately, the first person I asked what, you know, this is about and explained kind of made the whole situation very negative. So I just didn't talk about it a lot and just kind of tried to ignore it and move on with life as best as I could.
Yeah.
But I think I was about 16, 17, where I kind of started to have more of a curiosity, like, this can't be normal. And started doing some digging around on the internet and discovered that I'd been having what's called precognitive dreams, where you'll dream about the event and then you'll be going about your daily life and all of a sudden a sound or something you see just triggers. It's almost like a memory, but it's not. You remember dreaming it, not doing it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I talked to you about in my email was, it was about 9, 10, came home from the races with my family. And there was this just weird shrieking going on in the dark. You know, it's probably 11 o'clock at night and we couldn't figure out what it was. My mom gets the flashlight, turns on the porch lights. And, right at the time where she's like getting brave and going to look underneath the deck, I literally hit my knees because it was like, I just lost my balance kind of almost. It felt like that sensation you get when you're like seasick or you have some sort of inner ear imbalance. Mm. You just like can't find, your body can't find like the horizon kind of thing. And I just had this like flash of what my mom was going to say, what had happened. Like I saw all of the next couple of minutes and I was like, I remember dreaming this. I remember dreaming it because when I woke up, I thought that was weird. And I just thought it was a weird dream and just went on with my life. And then come home 6 months, almost a year later, and it happened. And my cat had got itself wound in these outdoor blinds, the cords. And if we'd come home any later, she probably would have choked herself to death, basically.
And so she was the one that was streaking. That was not streaking, shrieking.
Yeah, it was the cat, like a cat screaming. It sounds remarkably like a woman sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially if they're like super panicked. And I didn't realize that until, gosh, I think I was watching a nature documentary when I was a teenager, and I was just like, ooh, I've heard a sound like that before. It's a cat. And I'm just like, yep, that's right. Because I continued to watch because of that.
So you had a dream that, I mean, so it sounds like you had this like premonition that you're going to have to, that when you hear the sound, it's going to be something that is going to need attention, right? So I'm like, it was something to, that was helpful, right?
Right. What you're saying? In that instance, yeah, it was. But sometimes they're just pretty generic. Like, I'm just like, I know I dreamt this, but I don't know why I dreamt this, because there's no real purpose to this dream. An example would be getting on the bus at prom and seeing the pattern of the carpet and just knowing what was going to happen for the rest of the night. Nothing big happened, nothing important happened, but I remembered that, you know, this is going to happen between these two people. These people are going to dance. These people are going to end up together, and we're all going to have generally a good time, you know? And on another instance, just driving down the road, I saw this little hill with a tree, a big gigantic tree, and just had that sensation like, been here before. I know I've been here before, but I've never driven or lived anywhere near here before. So it's just weird little stuff like that. It's never anything major, like, oh, so-and-so is going to get murdered and this is who did it, you know, nothing that could help solve a crime or help another person.
Well, it's very like Final Destination. Did you ever see those movies?
Oh, yeah, they're creepy. They're very creepy. I think I stopped watching after the third one.
Yeah, the first one, I always think about that plane crash of the first one where he, like, kind of sees it happening and then it happens. I don't know what I would do if I had a dream like that.
I don't know what I would do if I saw something like that either. I've always wondered, because, like I said, I kind of got a love-hate, mostly hate relationship with sleep. So at least I have. Until maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, when I had a kid and I was the single mom, and it's just like, sleep is life because I can't survive without it.
Yeah. What's the story about moving into an old farmhouse with a shadow man?
When I was, just turned 17, my dad and mom decided that they wanted to move, which was fine, because I didn't really, other than like one or two friends, I didn't really care for where we lived anyway. It was just all I knew. And so we moved like 4 hours from Wisconsin to Minnesota in January. I wouldn't recommend, especially not here. And I was really excited, because when we went to look at this house, I believe it was November, just before, right around Thanksgiving, and I was obsessed. It was like my dream vision of the kind of house that I wanted. And we were waiting, and I couldn't wait to get in and look at this house. So when my parents finally, you know, got it, everything was settled, and we were all set to move, I was really excited. I didn't care that I had to drive 45 minutes to an hour to a grocery store, or half an hour to school. I didn't care. I wanted to be in this house. And so we get there, and my dad's an over-the-road truck driver at this time. And my mom is working. She hasn't started working yet. So I go to school for the first week, and that's a entire like culture shock compared to what I was used to. And my sister was not on point with this move. She didn't like the idea of it all. She wanted to stay with her best friend, finish out school year, and then start fresh at the beginning of the school year. So she was back in my hometown, I guess you could say. And my mom had made plans to go pick her up so she could come and unpack her room and pick up my best friend, since it was basically on the way. And then, you know, she would take them back on Sunday afternoon or whatever. So Friday, when I got home from school, I was the only one there for the first time, alone in the house. And it was just, God, I'm going to age myself a lot here. I was on ICQ talking to friends back in the dial-up days. And I got up because I wanted to get a drink. And this house is basically a rectangular box, and all the rooms connected in the very center. And there were doors so you could close off certain rooms. That's how they used to keep rooms hot and cold in the winter, in the days before air conditioning and central heating. And I was walking from the study where our computer was, and it was through like a little entryway, or not an entryway, but a little meeting point where all the rooms came together in this, on the main floor. And off to the left is the stairways. You go up a flight. There's a big window in the landing. You turn and you go up another 8 or so steps to a foyer. That was the word I was looking for, a foyer. And I was going to go walk past the stairs and into the kitchen, which was straight ahead of me. And as I was walking past the stairs, a movement in my left peripheral caught my attention. So I stopped and I turned and I looked, expecting to see our little rat terrier on the top of the steps, you know, like whining because she didn't want to come down, because that was kind of like one of her things. She'd go upstairs really easy, but she wanted to carry her down normally that big flight of stairs. But it was not the dog. It was a reflection in the window of the landing of someone standing at the top of the stairs. And there was no details. It was just completely black. Like, you couldn't see through it. You could see the light of the lamp illuminating like the outline of this person. And judging by the height, because I investigated afterwards, like I put my hand where I assumed the head was, and I'm 5'6", and it was probably at least a foot taller than I am. And it was wide, like, you know, it had like a man's build, even though I couldn't see features or hair or clothes or anything. And I just stared like in absolute horrified shock, because I'd curious about the supernatural before, but I'd never really had anything of this magnitude happen to me. And I felt like I was in a staring contest, and if I looked away first, something bad was going to happen. So, like, my gut hurt, and it was telling me, you know, you can't run away. If you run away, whatever this is going to think you're prey, and it's fair game to fuck with you. Excuse my French.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
And it was just an instinct, and it, like, almost hurt, because it was locking me in place, like that instinct, don't move, don't drop eye contact. And it makes sense, because a lot of, you know, mammalian predators are that way. Like, if you run away, or if you drop eye contact, or if you make eye contact, you're basically initiating a dominance battle. So
right, well, good for you, especially at such a young age, to like pick up on that and stand your ground.
Like I said, it was pure bodily instinct. And, you know, I kind of grew up in the fringe, not quite the country where farming happens or the forests, and not quite in town, like on the edge. So I knew just enough about wildlife and nature not to, you know, hurt myself too badly. So we did have bears a little bit in our area. So we did have a little bit of knowledge about what to do if you see a bear.
Right.
But this was not anything physically, I don't know if it's physical or anything, but it freaked me out enough that instinct just kind of took over. So I'm standing there having this staring contest with, I call him a shadow man. I don't know if he was actually what you would consider a shadow person or if it was just something kind of malevolent or a little malicious and just didn't want me to know what it looked like. It was trying to scare me. But I was staring at it and like locked, frozen instinctually. And about the time I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to grab my keys and I'm out of here. I'll just drive around until I know my mom's going to be home, whatever I have to do, you know, because I didn't have friends I could just drop in on. Mm-hmm. My new friends I've known for a week. So like most of them, I didn't even know where they lived. And the phone rang and I swear I must have had a miniature heart attack because I'm staring at something that scares me and then the sound just out of nowhere. And it was like one of those old rotary phones that's super loud. So I jumped backwards, snapped my head towards the kitchen thinking, there, you know, what was that? And then when I looked back, it was gone. And I just literally like vibrating from the adrenaline. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And I'm trying not to freak out. My mom's on the phone telling me they took a wrong turn, so they're going to be even longer. And I'm just trying not to let her know that I'm panicking and freaked out home alone. So I did what any sane person would do in that situation. Not. I closed all the doors to the stairway, turned on all the lights, turned on the TV, and turned the volume as loud as I could stand, because if there was anything going on upstairs, I didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I was not going to investigate alone.
Well, you were telling me that you've had like not scary, like not as scary, like happy family ones. Can you share some of those too?
Yeah, that house was definitely the more scary one. My dad passed in 2010 of pulmonary embolism. And it, oh, wow, really made me restructure my entire universe after that. And it was really hard because if I had a question or I didn't know how to do something, I could ask him and he would tell me either how to do it, how to go about doing it, or who to talk about too. To get something, you know, like he was the guy, he was my Google, my personal Google.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden I'm planning a memorial service because my mom is just inconsolable and she doesn't know how to do any of this. And my sister, yeah, she was upset, but you know, it was her problem, is kind of the way it felt. So I spent a lot of nights after that in my room, grieving quietly by myself, cold, always cold. I had to sleep with earbuds in with music playing just to shut my brain off. And I know there was several nights like that where I would just, I never saw anything, but I could just feel his presence and it was warm. Like he was trying to be comforting. And then, that happened in March, and very early summer my mom and I decided we were moving, and one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to go to Fort Snelling where his parents are buried, and surreptitiously and secretly leave a little bit of his cremations with his parents. And the other place that we decided that we wanted to do that before we left the area was the speedway that my dad went to all the time. I kind of grew up on the racetrack because he was really into that until he got into trucking. And they were having a free race, a free fans night. So the races were free. All you had to do was pay for any concession foods or whatever that you wanted. And my mom and I decided to go, and we were going to sprinkle in between turn four and the start finish line, which, you know, any racer probably understands. I was going to the concession stands to get food and drink, and I was on my way back and I've seen my dad lean against the fence. It's like one of those wood, it's not necessarily a fence. It's more like railroad ties stacked on top of posts to make, I guess it is kind of a rough fence. It's not going to keep anything out, but I'd seen him lean on that thing hundreds of times over the years, just, you know, elbows down, hands tucked under. And he didn't look at me, but I saw him on my way back. He was just, you know, wearing his favorite flannel button up, his white racing jeans, his racing hat. And I just stopped in the middle of a crowd of people coming back from the concession stands. They probably thought I was mental. And I just stared at him until a crowd of people walked in front of where he was standing. And when they moved finally out of the way, he was gone. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, you can't cry. You can't cry because mom will ask why, and she doesn't believe in any of this. So sitting there trying to wipe my eyes and not cry. And he's come to me a couple of times since then.
That's amazing, though. It's like he's in his happy place. And I mean, he clearly wanted you to see him, even though he didn't look at you.
He was watching the races. He would never take his eyes off the cars as they were running. It didn't even really faze me that he didn't look up at me or anything. So, but no, I think he knows wherever he is when I'm having a rough time, because he comes and visits.
Oh, that is so nice.
And, that's the only time I've seen him when I've been awake. I've seen him several more times since I've been asleep.
You mean in dreams? Because,
yeah. Probably about a year after he passed, I was at a period where I was really questioning why I was on this mortal coil anymore. And he came to me in a dream, and we were at a bus station. And he was trying to put me in a bus, and I didn't want to go because he was going to send me back to my mom. And one of the things that is really weird is that when I have these dreams about him, when he talks to me, his mouth never moves, but I always can hear his voice.
Interesting.
And yeah, he was sending me back to my mom because he said that she needed me more.
Wow.
I just remember I had my nephew in the bed with me. He wasn't even a year old. I woke up crying. And like before I could even register what was going on, he woke up next to me and started wailing. And I never heard him cry like that. I was just like, oh, dear God, what did I start? Sorry. So yeah, he's come to me a couple of times when I've been really, really low. And the last time, I wasn't asleep, but I didn't see him, and it startled me a little bit. And I think it was more because it messed with my motherhood instincts. My daughter started climbing out of bed, like a crib, at about 15 or 16 months. So she wasn't even 2 years old yet. And I made the decision, okay, I'm going to get her a bed because I don't want her to fall and hurt herself trying to climb up and over out of the crib that I had. So I got her a bed, and her routine was normally she would climb upstairs because my room was in the upstairs and hers was in the downstairs. So she'd climb the stairs in the middle of the night, and she'd crawl into bed with me, which I didn't really mind. As long as I was already asleep, I didn't care. So one night I had just turned off my light and I was getting settled in, and my habit is to listen to comedians on like Spotify or something like that before bed, just so that I focus on what someone else is saying and not all these things that are in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a timer for 45 minutes and then it shuts off. And I had just gotten comfortable. You know that moment when you sink into bed and you're in just the right position, covers are perfect, and you're like, okay, I'm good now. I can go to sleep. And but I was not asleep. I heard my door open. It wasn't like closed, but it was almost closed. So I heard it go across the carpet and gently bump the bookcase that was behind it. And then I heard it swing closed because my kid's obsessive compulsive and she closes and opens everything, drawers, doors, you name it. And I heard her walk across the carpet and felt her climb the footboard of my bed and get on the bed. And then I felt something touch my leg. And then when I moved my leg, expecting it to like brush against her or push up against her, there was nothing there. So I like froze in fear because I'm just like, oh, it's going to take seconds for me to roll over and tap this like touched lamp that I have on my nightstand. And I don't, this is weird. And then I felt the rub on my leg again. And it wasn't like, you know, somebody grabbing me violently or even inappropriately. It was just like a gentle squeeze, like, you're doing it, you're okay, kind of reassuring. Mm-hmm. But it scared me because I couldn't feel the body it was attached to.
Yeah.
So I finally got up the courage. I rolled over, tapped the light on, and just sat up. And I'm like, okay, she's not in my bed. So I get down on my hands and knees, and I look under my bed. She's not under my bed. I go downstairs. She's dead asleep in her bed.
Oh, no.
Snoring. And I'm standing in the doorway going, and she legitimately snores. And I'm just like, you were laying in bed and you felt this and you heard her snore over the monitor. And I just got the willies thinking about it, standing there. So I went, I checked to make sure the dog and my mom were in her room. And they were, because I was hoping maybe it was just the dog came in, jumped up, and then just left. But I'm just like, all right, now it's going to take forever to fall asleep. And I was just sitting there and I'm like, okay. It was scary because you thought it was your kid and it wasn't. And you had that moment of start, like, where is she, when you finally turned on the light? But everything is good. It wasn't a bad touch. It just startled you. And I was sitting there, you know, like, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, Dad, it's nice that you came to visit, but next time, don't touch me like that. Don't freak me out. Come to me in a dream where I can see you coming, you know, like. So, but yeah, that's probably been the most recent experience.
But you definitely felt good. That it was him.
Yeah, once I calmed down, because you like turn on the light and you think it's, you know, I thought it was my two-year-old, not even two-year-old daughter climbing in the bed with me, and I turn on the light and she's not there. Well, A, what touched me? And B, where is she?
Yeah.
And it's just that like panic, like, okay, I gotta go see where she is, what she's doing. And then when I get down and I'm looking at her asleep in her bed, snoring, and I'm like, oh my God, you were laying in bed. This thing touched you. And you can hear her snoring on the baby monitor. What's wrong with you? How did you not put this together faster? You know? And so just like, you know, I had that going on and I was really stressed out about some other stuff with her dad, who's not in the picture and hasn't been for a long time. And I'm just like, oh, I'm sure it was just my dad coming to let me know that, you know, everything may not be going the way you want it to right now, but it's okay. You're healthy. She's healthy. Everything's fine. It'll work out, you know?
God, I love that. I love that you guys still have that connection. All right. Special thank you to this month's listeners. We had Liz, Andy, and Jennifer. If you want to hear that special Patreon bonus clip of Andy talking about a scary nightmare / sleep paralysis story, go to patreon.com/RozDresFiles in my second tier. I also have that video of me at the Whaley House on there in my first tier on Patreon. And again, I hope you can join us for our little 2-year celebration, me and my producer Land, on the app called Stereo, wherever you get your apps. And you just download it. You make a little cute little avatar. You make a little cartoon looking thing of yourself. And you follow me, Roz Dres Velez. And we're doing that this Saturday, the 30th of January. And it is at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I hope you can be there. And if you are, please say hello or tell us a spooky ghost story. And if you have a ghost story to be on an upcoming listener episode, just send it on over to ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. I am also on really all the places, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. I still have not done TikTok. I'm working on it. All of it is at Roz Dres Velez. And the Facebook group, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. I'm on Venmo at Queen Roz. I am literally everywhere. There's so many ways to get a hold of me. So I love you guys so much, and I love hearing from you, and I so appreciate you. We did it. We made it to 2 years, and here's to two more. So thank you guys. I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.